formal session and all those things. So Dhamma is accord and flow. Don't be too eager to do things. Then you are like unknowingly subject yourself to pressure because the magic number already told to you, 100 samanthari. So when you cannot get, you go all around. Then you encourage people and all those things. Cannot hear. Cannot hear. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Not easy, not easy to get the. Oh, already very good. Yeah. Already very good. Very good. Yeah, yeah, already very good. You need more helper. Yeah, you need more helper. Oh, okay. So how many days the samanthari program? 12 days. So it's a typical ordination followed by some program. In between every day is a Dhamma class, meditation, chanting, all the thing. Means they are trying out the samanthari life, life of a samanthari. It's good training. But more important is to set the foundation. The foundation is very important. The person training them is very important. Because it's not about getting to know the rules. The rules to me is secondary. It's getting to know what you are doing down there, the purpose, the intent. And the training must be from somebody who understands what the training is. If you go by the rules, you are actually wasting their time. Because rules are meant to be a guidance. But if you understand the rules are not the training, it is how you understand the teaching. The teaching is very important. But a lot of people will argue otherwise. If the rules are important, then the next question they have to ask themselves is, what are rules for? To discipline, understand? To control. So you set the mood in the wrong direction. It is not to discipline, to control. It's for you to understand why you have to do this training. You can see the point, huh? Like precept. It's not to say you must take this precept. No use. You set the rule. Everybody must keep this precept. You must not violate. But they don't understand why you force them to keep. To them, it's discipline. No? You force me to keep. No? But if I explain to you, it's for your own good. Then it becomes a different thing. Then they willingly keep. It's just like our government change. Now you no need to discipline people. People know what to do. Because the government is not behind there to enforce all those things. Do you realize last time nobody dare to talk and contribute or do anything? Because the government behind is not listening at all. They are just doing the thing that they want to do, and they want rules that favor them. So society can become like that is because the leaders don't understand. So cultivation is the same. If you don't have the understanding, cultivation also become like what this leader do or society do, because they are more interested in getting the program done in a grand way and all those things, so that they can attract more people and all this. But the purpose and the intent is not looked into. So when you do not have that understanding, it's very difficult to bring about useful training. Okay. Oh, we better start 8:15 already. Okay. So you name two person to help light the candle and the incense. Ah, yes. Oh, good, good. Comprehensive, huh? Oh, very good. Oh, sadhu. Oh, very good, very good. Oh, sadhu, sadhu. Rejoice. If that is the case, then it's very good. Okay. Ah, can. Come. Tammy and Fong. Yeah, help to light the candle. Then the rest of us can stand. Huh? Then we can start our puja offering. For those who just came in, in front of you got some notes. The last Sunday class short notes. If you don't have, you can collect from me in front here. I still got a lot. You got any? You don't have. Come. Sadhu, 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 sadhu.
Sadhu.
Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your seat. Then we get ready for puja. Compose your mind. Develop the sada, the faith, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can visit that. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Then we will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panati pata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we shall chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dithena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang. Vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi budang kusumena nena unena matena cha otu mokang pupang milayati ta idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, we are now chanting puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance there. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses all the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate samadhi and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripa Jam. Padang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, good. Just relax body and mind and be seated and have a stable posture so that you can develop your meditative training. View of the light. Then I will set, I think, 25 minutes for meditation. we can have half an hour. We are still within time. Just now I thought we lost 5 minutes. Okay, you can have 30 minutes. I will ring the bell after the 30-minute alarm goes off. By now, I think most of you would have understood how to develop the meditation. It's quite simple. You always inquire, what am I doing in the name of meditation? So first inquiry is, am I able to meditate? If I am not able to meditate, means my spiritual faculties are not developed. That's the reason why the mind is heedless, think a lot, because of the mental hindrances. So this one, you need to work on it during your free time. You can develop it through puja, through chanting, through your daily religious routine. And mindfulness is very important. You have to do it throughout the day within your daily life. If you are working during your office hour too, if you are a housewife at home, you can also develop them. So of all the five spiritual faculties, sati is most important. Without sati, the meditation cannot start. That's why we are here, to train our mind to develop sati and to stabilize this sati so that we can have this type of mind state in the midst of life. You can't even stabilize it in formal meditation. You don't stand a chance when you go back to life. So it's as simple as that. So what you need to do is, you check if my spiritual faculty is still not there. I determine to train it, develop it later on. Then now, since you still want to meditate, what you can do is, you can use some skillful means like mind sweeping method combined with metta to decondition your heedless thinking, so that the five mental hindrance can be kept at bay temporarily. This is your new tendency, to retrain your mind to just feel and relax, no more thinking. And by doing that, it helps. When you just feel and relax, you don't think, it will be a new conditioning. That's why I call it, it can help you decondition your heedless thinking mind. And this is only temporary, because you are in a form of meditation. You sweep your mind by feeling, relaxing into every mind state. Then you combine with metta. So mind sweeping method can make you calm and peaceful. Metta can bring about inner well-being. So the inner peace born of mind sweeping method combined with the inner well-being developed through metta and loving kindness will bring about good positive energy to your form and mind. Then after that, you can relax into it, silence everything, and develop the meditation. You still need an object of meditation to help you to stabilize this silent mind or the trained mind. You can use it. If you don't have any object of meditation that you are familiar with, you use anapanasati. Just develop this anapanasati, relax, silent, and just maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Every time it wanders off, bring it back, patient. Not long, this anapanasati will settle down. Then when it settles down, you will feel a type of peace within. They call it the spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness. or sometimes they call it spiritual rupture, you will experience PT, a very nice feeling, calmness of mind, born of mental training. The meditative state, when you develop it properly accordingly, it will develop PT. Because PT will arise when the mind doesn't think, when the mind is just aware of the in and out breath. Then this inner peace leading to the inner well-being or joy will arise the PT. Then when PT arises, you will like to meditate. Then you continue to relax and maintain mindfulness. Relaxation is very important. When it relaxes, you can go deeper. Your peace can become more refined. Then from PT, it will become more and more refined until you experience Sukhang. Sukhang is spiritual blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very blissful within. Then you continue to relax and silent and allow the Anapanasati to continue. So as you progress, initially your Anapanasati will become very stable. Then you will develop a lot of long breath. The breath like become very long. Then every in and out breath is like very long. Then you are fully aware, fully mindful. Like there's a lot of things inside there. That's why your mind got no gap. The awareness got no gap. There is space between thought. Sometimes totally no thought, just mindful, aware. And the continuous mindfulness can bring about absorption of mind. But you have to relax into it and silent. Then after a long time, when you are skillful, this long breath will become more and more refined too. Then you will experience a type of stillness. They call it tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, or pasati. Pasati is an enlightenment factor. The mind becomes very quiet, very still, and very tranquil. You will experience the silent mind, the stillness of mind. That is your true mind. So stay with that true mind. Don't do anything, just stay there. Maintain the silence. And most people who do Anapanasati, finally your mindfulness will go down to your heart area, your chest area. Because as you draw your breath, it will reach your heart area. Then as you breathe out, it will come out. Then it will go back to your heart area. So after your breath becomes very subtle, like no more movement, then it doesn't go to your heart. But your awareness, you can either stay at a subtle breathing, because as your mind becomes more and more silent, more and more refined, more and more tranquil, this mind actually enters sati. When the mind is in sati, it is very sensitive. It can feel many things. Even the subtle breathing will come back to you, like magnify. That's why that time your awareness become very different. The slightest movement will be magnified, like very big movement inside you. Because your awareness can be aware of the whole thing. Then when you are in that state and relax, there is no pain, nothing, because of the mindfulness, the awareness. And you are in a state of inner peace, inner awareness, and just relax. Then if you want, you can follow the mind sweeping method. Just sweep it down to your heart area, chest area. Silence everything and just relax and feel. Just feel, no need to do anything. Then you can, you keep it slightly towards your left side. Just relax and feel. Then you can one day detect either your heartbeat or any vibration within your heart area. You just silence everything, relax, and stay with it. Be with it. The awareness and the movement together. Then initially you can be aware of your own heartbeat. Like the very gross pounding of your heart, popa, popa, you can feel them. But as you relax into it, silent, this heartbeat also will slow down until finally, like, no more movement. Everything becomes very still. Then I will rejoice with you, because that is the state that you have to develop. That is your true mind in sati. Then later on, you stabilize this, and when you come out of the meditation, your mind that is in sati will be aware of many, many things. Every moment of consciousness, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or touch, or thought consciousness, the awareness is there. Everything is in a state of awareness, mindfulness, and the mind hardly thinks, it's just aware. So this is what daily mindfulness is all about. Not until you stabilize your mind, until it's very stable. Then after that, when you come out of the meditation, like suddenly you feel your awareness is different now. The awareness can be with your activity, your movement. Then everything you see, specific phenomenal awareness, your mind and the phenomenal become one. Hearing also same. Everything is like in harmony and synchrony with your awareness, your nature. Then during that time, you can understand many things. You can see many, many things that normal people don't see. That's what meditation is all about. That's what sati is all about. So this is a more detailed description of what you need to understand. Because by now, most of you are reaching those states. And when you can have this clear instruction to guide you, then you know what to do. That's why don't be too eager to know whether you progress or not. Forget about it. Just do. Not until sati become very stable. Forget about progress. But when your sati is very stable, when you can be heedful and mindful in the midst of life, that is the beginning of the real meditation. That's how wisdom can arise. That's how the mind can transform. It can awaken to the characteristics of nature. It can develop the silent mind to have the direct seeing. Then while in the meditative state, you just relax, silent, and allow the silent mind to meditate. It will understand, it will know, because it has that sensitivity. The awareness within is very different. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. Then later on, when the alarm goes off, I will ring the bell. you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munirajas Sunan Sango Ahoneyo Pahoneyo
jali karaniyo anuttarang punya ketang lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Tripa Jam. Bedang puji ini. Damang puji ini. Sanghang puji ini. Okay, you can be seated. Then you will discuss the short notes. There is a copy of the short notes in front of you. This is the outline short note for last Sunday's 6 Patriarch Platform Sutta, dated 27th of May 2018, lesson 75. We are at the final chapter, actually, chapter 10. We continue from page 382. Chapter 10 is on the final instruction of 6 Patriarch. That's why the short note also came out so beautifully. It's like summarize all the things that you need to understand about the practice. Then also there were conditions for 3 Kayanamita to ask 3 very good questions. That's why it like complement the whole understanding of cultivation. And this one is very useful because it's about the ultimate cultivation. It takes you directly to the true mind, the true nature. Okay. The first short note is about the self nature. The self nature is the oneness nature. So a lot of people don't understand. That's why Hui Ning was trying to summarize everything and tell them, this is where you start your cultivation. If you fail to understand this, you actually cannot awaken. But this self nature is to be realized, otherwise you cannot understand what is described here. So here, you should by now have the understanding of what this thing is. I believe most of you who have already developed the cultivation, you will know. The self nature is the oneness nature, or the oneness of all things. It's also called the source of all things, or source of everything. We are from there, it arises, and it was never born. That's why it don't have to go through always sickness and death. Then this nature is very strange because it is the unconditioned. That's why Hui Ning say originally there was nothing in his poem. Where can the dust alight? That famous poem that counter Sun Xiu's poem. Because Sun Xiu was caught in duality, and he was caught in the mundane mind without him knowing. He actually cultivated correctly, not bad, but he failed to understand that self nature, the true nature, the oneness nature. That's why the 5th Patriarch hinted to him, you are at the gate of enlightenment, but you don't know how to seize the mind and go in. So just miss by so little, and that is enough to bring you in samsara, pin you down in samsara. So that's why when Hui Ning saw his poem, he knew Sun Xiu had not realized the true mind. Sun Xiu still don't understand what that thing is. He is still dwelling on the mundane mind, but he has develop the training to cultivate mindfulness, the four foundation, everything according to the Buddha's teaching. That's why his poem lacked that. He said our body is like a bodhi tree. Sun Ru Pudi Su. Then Ming Qing. Sing Ru Ming Qing Tai. So that mind that he described, the mind is like a mirror bright on a stand, that is the mundane mind. The mundane mind that has been trained. He knows it's the mirror bright, but there is no stand because he always refers to that mind as the reference. That's why he created the center. The center from which everything arises, the egoic center. So because of that, he failed to penetrate. Then Huineng straight away came up with another poem to counter everything that he said, because he had realized the true mind. And he was able to point out the sensu. He said, Bohi is not a tree. Puti peng wu su. So Bohi, which is wisdom, fundamentally is not a tree. It's not what you think. It's an understanding. That's why he countered him. Puti peng wu su. Then Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai. The mind is neither the bright mind, understand. Means that is the mundane mind, that is not the true mind. Then he go on to the third verse. He say, originally there was nothing. That's why no need to polish until it shines, so that no dust can arise. He say, originally it was the unconditioned, there was nothing there. You don't create through the mundane mind, there is nothing. That's why he said, where can the dust alight? So dust is what sensu created, the duality. Where dust is one aspect of the wholesomeness duality. Dust means defilement, unwholesome state of mind. That's why sensu want to do away with that, not knowing that that was created by the mind. When this arise, that arise, the Buddha said, imas means sati idang hoti. That's how you cannot do away with it. Because when you create good, whatever that is not good, the opposite will manifest. When you have wholesome, whatever is that is not wholesome is unwholesome. That's why defilement arise. So you look at note 2. I describe it. Dust here means defilement or unwholesome mind state. It arises because of duality created by the mundane mind via words, concept, and idea. And this is where a lot of people get trapped. That's why Krishnamurti was very, very wise. He said, thought divide. How did thought divide? The thought is your mundane mind. It divides through words. Words like race divide into so many types already. Religion again divide into so many types already. So words are very powerful. Then the other one is concept. Concept of right and wrong, good and bad. All the duality. These are concepts. And these are relative truth, not ultimate truth. Then idea. Idea is from your thought process, thinking. That's why you got a lot of idea. To you, this is right. This is wrong. So everybody have their own version of what this thing is. That's why they have this idea. No, not like that. You are wrong. So words divide through words. A lot of duality arise. So mundane mind via words, concept and ideas really create division, separation. The mundane mind creates the duality of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, right and wrong, etc. It is impossible to then use the mundane mind to do away with such duality. That's why, how can you do that? You practice meditation, to push away the defilement. You only want to maintain good mind state. You cannot do that, because that creation comes from your mundane mind. Like the Buddha said, imas means sati, idang hoti. When you create one side of the duality, when this arises, you define this as right, good, wholesome. Whatever that is not like that, the opposite manifests. That's why he said, when this arises, that arises. Then the second stanza is it. Imas mean asati, idang arhoti. No need to do anything. When this ceases, that one also ceases. The meaning is, when you don't create, there is nothing for you to do. Thing is just the way it is. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad, no wholesome, no unwholesome. It's just the way things are. Suchness, the truth, the reality. It's not according to you or according to some convention, idea, concept, or mundane relative truth. So all these are very useful. Then I explain further. It's impossible to then use the mundane mind to do away with such duality, because the mundane mind is fighting its own creation, which always come together as a pair. Meaning, if one does not create, then things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong, no good, no bad. So this is very important understanding. This is wisdom. When you can accept things as they are, see things as they are, no more duality, you are always at peace. You will never have any problem. Yeah. Then the third point is also very important. If the mundane mind does not create duality via delusion, the word is delusion. That's why you must straighten your view, develop right view. When you have more right view, you got less delusion. You will not stir your mind. You will not react to sense experience. That's why your mind becomes different. You are at peace. You can accept the reality of the moment, because there is no more delusion to grasp, to cling, to hold, to attach. And because of that, the true mind will be able to see things as they are, because no more stirring, no more reaction, no more delusion to grasp and to cling. That's why within that silence, the stillness, the awareness, you can see things as they are. That is what the direct seeing is all about. Seeing with the true mind, not conditioned by your memory, by your views, your opinion, your conditioning, by the thing that you hold on to within your memory. That's the reason why Krishnamurti say acting according to memory is not acting at all. You should act with wisdom and understanding to understand clearly the reality, the suchness nature of all conditioning. Then number four is also very important, the fourth point. We must learn to use the mundane mind and yet not deceived by it. So this is a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world, karmically condition out our human being, the form and mind, the five aggregate. It's not real because it's impermanent. It's not you. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. But this one is related to your nature because it's karmically conditioned out through your karmic nature. Through karma, it comes. And when it comes, because it's connected to your nature, you need to use it to develop the cultivation, the understanding, to use it to live life, to be a blessing to all. Of course, it also follow nature's laws, because this form of mind is subject to law of karma. That's why it will go the way of nature. It will be subject to karma. That's why in all cultivation, you need to have the right understanding and do your duty as a human being. The law of karma recognizes relationship. Within the conditioned world, there is such thing as duality. There is such thing as living being. So all this, you have to understand, because the two, the conditioned world and the unconditioned world, they have two different sets of understanding. But if you have the wisdom of the unconditioned through your direct seeing, then you can use it to protect this form of mind from being deluded. That's why the wisdom that is connected is very important. When this form of mind is connected to the wisdom that arises through the direct seeing, through the meditative training, then this form of mind, also called human being, the vehicle and the tool, is no longer deluded. And you can say that one is enlightened, but that one is not you, because that one is impermanent, through the way of nature. So this one, you have to learn to use it, but not to be deluded by it or deceived by it. Then the fifth point is, do not waste time on tinted merits. Instead, work towards awakening via the silent mind. I realize a lot of Buddhists, they like to do what? Dana, charity. Go here, go there, make offering. Nothing wrong, very wholesome. But no matter how much merit you accumulate, you can never become free, because without wisdom, without enlightenment, you will still be trapped within the conditioned world. Then whatever merit you do before the wisdom arises, that merit is tinted, not true merits. It still have the tinted aspect. Tinted means not a pure merit, means not fully without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, especially delusion, because there is still a concept of a self who wants to do merits. Then your action is out of greed for that merits. That's why that subtle craving or desire is from the mundane mind. That's why it's called tinted merit, not pure merit. Pure merit means when there is condition, this form of mind manifests and do. And that one is pure merit. Then later on, as you cultivate, when you reach the stage of no thought leading to no mark, the merits that the form of mind with that understanding cultivate is way beyond the tinted merit that worldly beings cultivate. No comparison at all. So that's why don't waste time on tinted merits. It's useful for mundane living, but you cannot rely on it, because it is not refuge safe. It will not bring about a permanent understanding. It cannot liberate your mind. It cannot free the form of mind. Then number six is just a sharing, story of Bodhidharma transmitting the Dhamma from India to China. You want to know more, you listen to the recording. What I explained to you is just a summary of what I shared that day. But it's a very complete summary. Number seven is very important. You have to understand what enlightenment is. What is enlightenment? To you, what is enlightenment? when you see light, a lot of people say, hey, Brother Teo, the word enlightenment got light there. So when I see light, I enlighten. So a lot of people are looking for light. Then when they realize the mind become very quiet, very peaceful, then suddenly they see nimitta. Oh, they say enlightenment, Brother Teo, I can see nimitta. I can see beautiful lights. Enlightenment has nothing to do with a light. Enlightenment is an awakening. Then suddenly the form of mind that is connected, awaken, understand, that's it. Finish. Awaken to what? Wisdom, which is the truth and the reality. But without the self nature, the true mind, you cannot awaken. You cannot develop the direct see. That's why I put here, enlightenment is to awaken to the self nature, or the true nature, or the true mind. It's not about just sitting without understanding. So now you know why Hui Ning said the first step in meditation is no thought, the hallmark of Hui Ning's teaching. You must reach the silent mind, that true mind. From there you start. You can't train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, to have that stillness, the inner peace, inner awareness, the silence within, and to realize your self nature, your true nature. There is no way you can awaken. So number 8 is also very important. I gave the example of the Zen story. Maybe I repeat here. It's very interesting. You remember Bodhidharma or not? Who is Bodhidharma? As Buddhist, Bodhidharma also you don't know. Who is he? First patriarch of China. He came from India. He is the number 28 after Sakyamuni. So he is the 28th patriarch from Sakyamuni. But he came to China. That's why he became the first patriarch of China. So when he came, the emperor sent his... there was one monastery, I think, the most famous one, sent the abbot and the whole senior monk to receive him. So they get ready everything. So they thought it's like an ambassador, see? Got all the entourage of follow. Then they saw one Indian monk come alone, not wearing shoe. Only he alone, and he didn't bring along anything. Then they look at him. They ask him, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Bodhidharma." "Huh? You are the one? Where is your entourage?" "I don't need entourage," he said. "You want me. You want the teaching." That's why they can't understand. So because of that, they look down upon him. But they still attend to him. They put him in the temple. So while he was in the temple, he saw this monk. They really don't understand what Dhamma is. They were doing all the wrong thing. So what happened was, after a few weeks, I think, then they announced, they said, "We are going to go into meditation, what they call practice." So their meditation is like seclusion. They go into one room where everybody cannot talk. They just meditate inside there. So I think the abbot plus another 3 senior monks, they went in. Then Bodhidharma came along. He said, "I want to join in." Then they said, "Okay, join in." Then they make a rule. Whoever who speak first or open the mouth first to speak, they lose. Understand? Where you supposed to maintain noble silence. So as they meditate, sitting there, especially the abbot and the few senior monks, Bodhidharma knew they don't understand what meditation is. They don't know what they are doing. But they are trying to pretend that they meditate. Oh, they really suffer. Because they really sit there and dare not move, dare not speak. Then in the middle of the night, there was this wind howling rain, that's what I was saying. Then suddenly one of the window blown open by the wind. Then you got that sound, and I was there. Then one of the monk panicked. He said, "Got ghost." Then the second monk laughed. He said, "You speak, you lose." Then the third monk at the emperor looked at him. He said, "You also speak." So all disqualified. Then emperor also disqualified. Then they looked at Bodhidharma. You know what he did? Your cup, well, luckily here got the ancient one, not smooth one. He used this top cover, he grind on the table. So he make noise through this one. So he was not disqualified. Then the abbot and the monk become curious. "What are you doing? We are meditating. You're not supposed to make any noise." He said, "I'm trying to polish this glassware until it become mirror." Everybody laughed at him. "No, how can the glassware become mirror? True or not? And you grind on a table or not? Not on a grinder or not?" Then only Bodhidharma started to speak. He said, "Why you laugh? You all are just doing what I am doing. Because you think by sitting you can become enlightened. And you don't know why you sit. No amount of sitting can awaken you. It's just like this one. If you don't understand, you keep on grinding on the table. You think you can become mirror? It's just to tell them that what you are doing is without understanding. You are wasting your time." So all of them were very surprised. Though. Wow, this patriot really got something. So the one of the monks straight away asked, though, "How then can we develop the correct meditation, the understanding?" And you know what Bodhidharma told them? "You have to start from basic." And you know what this monk thing? "Huh? Basic? Learn how to chant? Learn how to bow? Do all those rules?" He said, "We have already done. We are senior monk. What you mean go back to basic?" You know what Bodhidharma said? "If you don't even have this basic understanding of who you are, what you are, of the self nature," then he wrote this word there on, oh sorry, he don't have a whiteboard, he just spoke. So he told them, "This basic understanding also you don't understand, how can you meditate?" So he said, "This self nature is very important. You start from here. Within each and every living being, you have a true nature or a self nature. And this is the nature that is responsible for all things." He said, "All things arise from this self nature." That's why the Mandarin word is very beautiful, kenpen. You have to start from basic. Means, whatever that arises within the conditioned world, it started with this. That's why Hui Ning, after the fifth patriarch explained to him the Diamond Sutta, expounded to him, that he reached the part where he said, "This mundane mind, or this mind, you have to learn to use it, and yet not be deluded by it." He came to great awakening. Then the first thing he recite was, "How amazing is it that this self nature is complete by itself?" Then he said the second verse, "How amazing all Dhamma arise from this self nature. All things manifest from this self nature." That's why he said, "How amazing. Everything is already there, no need to do anything." But living being cannot understand. So he said, "If you can't understand this, you cannot cultivate," which is very true. From the self nature arise what? The first one that come out is what? Remember the four circle? Yeah? What is the first one? This one is the self nature, the source. Understand? Remember? Then from here come out what? Pure awareness. Pure awareness. This one, the pure awareness, is very important. This is your true mind. Arisery. Then you use this to actually cultivate. But this one cannot come out and live life. So the one that come out and live life is the mundane mind. Understand that? Mundane mind. So this is the mundane mind. Then this is the, what is this? Phenomenal world, existential world. Or existential world. So this is the world of consciousness. Phenomenal world of consciousness. And this is how the creation come about. So he say, if you don't understand this, you cannot. That's why the Buddha say, mind is the forerunner of all things. When this mind arise, mind is the forerunner of all things. Then continue. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why understanding this mind is very important. And this mind got two aspects, two types. You have the true mind and the mundane mind. So when mind arises, everything arises. That's why the Buddha said, from the mind, the phenomenal will come about. Phenomenal world, of consciousness. This mind, you got the true mind, the pure awareness, then you got the mundane mind. So in order to start cultivation, you must understand the mundane mind cannot meditate. The mundane mind is capable of division, creation, create all this phenomenal world of consciousness to deceive you. And when you are deceived, you think it's real. That's why the ego arises, the personality arises. That's why all our attachment, craving, clinging, grasping come from there. Because when this egoic mind arises, the personality or the atta will be there. Then this entity, thinking that it is real, will have craving, desire. That's why you will want to own thing, possess thing. That's why possessiveness, craving, desire. Then it can become emotional. When you cannot get what you want, you become unhappy, angry. Then you have hatred, envy, jealousy. And because of delusion, the duality, the coming negativity arise. So when you don't understand how all this create, you cannot start your meditation. That's why he said to meditate, you have to silence your mind and understand what is going on and reverse all these things back so that you understand that originally You are this nature. There is nothing. Yet this one cannot come out and live life. This one is the unconditioned, the source. Never born, nothing. But from this one, everything come out. That's why every living being you come out, you have this mundane mind, which is a five aggregate of form and mind, the human being or what with the consciousness, creating the phenomenal world. But you don't know how to silence this mundane mind to realize the true mind. That's why you cannot meditate. That's why he said all of meditation is not about sitting to become peaceful, calm, to see light, to develop psychic and all those things, to follow method, technique, to experience all the conditioned state of mind. No! It's just to understand what this thing is. Who are you? What are you? That's why they are. 你是谁?谁在念佛? Who are you? Who is chanting the Buddha's name? That's why all Gong'an lead you back to the true mind, the silent mind. Then this one must cease to return to the source or realize Nibbana. So he said, if this basic also you don't understand, you're wasting your time. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to search? True or not? When you meditate, now I ask you, let's say you don't know all this. Then what you do? You follow instruction, isn't it? Where the monk say, you do like that, vipassana, meditation. Then you can become enlightened. What is enlightenment? Never explained to you. What are you supposed to do? Also never explained to you. That's how the Buddha came to know the right view with regards to law of karma. The moment this mundane mind arise, the Buddha knew. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, everything arise. That's like the first two verses of the Dhammapada verse. When you are heedless, when you do not have the understanding, you will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind, or a deluded mind, or unwholesome mind. That has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then he said, suffering will follow you. Just like the wheel that follow the hoof. So this is verse 1. Then verse 2 is a complementary verse. He realized there is this nature's law, law of karma. So he said, if you train your mind to be mindful, to be heedful, then you act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind. With a pure mind, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. This is basically what karma is all about. That's why his advice is just avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. It comes from the first right view with regards to law of karma. That's why from this law of karma, he started the cultivation. He said, Noble Eightfold Path. Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you need to arise the four right effort to purify your action, speech, and thought. That's how the basic teaching come about. That's how cultivation come about. If this basic understanding also you don't have, then how can you meditate? You meditate without understanding. You don't know what you are doing. You're supposed to see through the direct seeing, the silent mind, the phenomenal world. That these are impermanent, lead to suffering. That's why it's anatta, non-self, empty, no reality. We are dependent originating, condition arising. As real as it can be, it's only within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. This is for you to see. That's why you learn to see the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then within this phenomenal world, you got external form. You have to learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can see the empty nature of form. Then only you can see beyond form. Then after form, you got to go back to mind, this mundane mind. Again, you realize this is condition arising, dependent originating, not real. All the aggregates are impermanent, lead to suffering when you deludedly grasp and cling. That's why it is anatta, non-self, empty. Then you have to learn to see mind, the unreality of mind. Then you have to see beyond mind. To see beyond mind, you have to come back to your true mind, the direct seeing, the nature. That's why next part of the note is very important. I read to you. Yeah? Start from basic. That is, understand that everything arises from the self nature, including the mundane mind. For mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. Whether something is wholesome or unwholesome, the duality, they all arise from the mundane mind. So understand this clearly. And these are creation, not real. Then there is a nature, this is the one, that is independent of thinking. All beings are connected to the self nature, which is never born. Hence, it doesn't get sick, get old, or die. For this is the eternal nature. You have to understand this. Do you see the importance of understanding this? Or is it too difficult for most of you? If it's too difficult, never mind. Later on, you will understand. But I believe quite a number can understand.
Eternal nature.
Yes.
Is the unconditioned. Is the nibbana already, right?
Nibbana is part of it.
Part of it only, yeah.
You see, Amy, don't try to understand now because I can give you some description, but you just have an idea of what it is. Because this is the source, understand or not? The eternal nature is like your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. You understand not? Except it has nothing to do with the conditioned world. That's why it's called the eternal nature. Eternal means since life beginning, there is no beginning. But it was never born. And it was there all the while. It is the source of all things. And from there, the living being come out following the Surangama Sutta, the first thought of ignorance. The condition, the continuous becoming until become very gross, the human rhyme and all those things. Then that living being, you see, through delusion, that living being think there is a knower. The knower become the living being. Because this mind, as it fall, he thought there is a knower. That's why this knower grabs onto the mundane mind, thinking that it's real. Then this knower is the cause of suffering. Because when you try to know, the knowing comes from knowledge. There is nothing to know. You're supposed to develop wisdom, awakening, understanding. But this guy, or this form of mind, grabs on to the mundane mind. And the mundane mind think through knowledge, it can gain a lot of things. It can know a lot of things. That's where the delusion is. So the knower becomes the... The living beings become the traveler in space and time. Because this living being is a delusion. That's why through karma, it roams the 31 plane of existence for eternity. So after this happened, then that living being which is here together with the phenomenal world, they continuously through karma, through delusion, continue to roam, take birth, unending birth, birth and death, unending. You call it samsara. So samsara is from here onward. Then for you to free from samsara, you need to silence your mind. The mundane mind need to silence and connect back to this true nature. But this true nature is only connected to the karmically conditioned form of mind. Without the vehicle and tool, without that form of mind, you cannot connect to the true nature. You cannot connect even to the true mind. That's why you need a vehicle to come to the existential world. Then that vehicle must understand that it is connected. That's why without the wisdom connected, this mundane mind or the five degree of form of mind or the human being will be deluded by the phenomenal world and it will suffer. Then karma continue to spin. Yeah. But the moment is connected means through the meditation, you're silent, you know all this. That's why your training is to just silence the mind and realize the true mind. That's why I say enlightenment is the awakening to the, just now we just read, awakening to the self nature, the true mind. You know? You're supposed to realize only that. Then what are you doing? The method, the technique, and lifting the so-called vipassana. You're wasting your time when you don't understand this. The only thing you need to understand is, like the Buddha's teaching, the third way. You remember the five way to overcome unwholesome thought. What is the third way? Silent, aware, don't do anything. Like the bullock cart go through the pool of water. When you stir, it becomes muddy. But when you leave it without stirring it, it becomes clear. He said your mind is like that, the mundane mind. Without delusion, without ignorance, it does not stir. That is all the time still, silent, clarity. That's why I mentioned earlier on, yeah? There is note 3. Read note 3. Read. Otherwise you cannot get it. The key word is delusion. Then, true mind can see things as they are. This is what you're supposed to do in meditation. If the mundane mind does not create duality via delusion, then the true mind will know how to see things as they are, isn't it? Because there is no more delusion. But like that day, luckily, Adeline asked the question, Brother Teo, in cultivation, how do we break free from duality? That was a very good question, and I answered it inside that. So you all go and listen to the recording. I hope I got time. Remind me to explain that. Oh, might as well explain it. After that, no condition. You see, when I say, when this mundane mind, if the mundane mind does not create duality via delusion, then the true mind can see things as they are. This is one statement by itself, no? Not separate, no. So you don't go and read, Oh, Brother Teo said, if the mundane mind do not create duality via delusion. Yeah, I straighten my view, Then I got no delusion, I see things as they are, Then I free. If you do, that, you practice, that, you are no different from the thought-based guy. Understand? It is knowledge. What are you supposed to understand? How did duality come about? I already told you. Duality come from why? Yeah? Read the notes. No. Duality come from the? mundane mind. Yeah, this mundane mind created the duality. So, Number two. Thus here means defilement or unwholesome mind state. It arises because of duality created by mundane mind via words, concept, and idea. So you know your mundane mind within the conditioned world will do all this. Human being will do all this. But they don't understand. So what are you supposed to develop? Nothing free you except wisdom. So what is wisdom? Understanding. Understand that the phenomenal world that you are living in has duality. Understand or not? But that is where the mundane mind is. It will create. So don't worry about it. Don't try to like sunseal, polish until it shines so that no dust can alight. So that I don't want to see duality. Oh, I see things as they are. Sui An is the way he is. This is all knowledge. Understand or not? But if it's understanding, no word one, it understand, finish. So don't go and practice non-duality, understand? No? It's like practicing letting go. When you have wisdom, you don't need to practice anything, understand? No? Who practice let go? The person who want to practice let go. Who practice non-duality? The thought want to practice non-duality. Don't practice. Through wisdom, you understand. Finish. Words, divide. Concept, idea, divide. So when I understand, I can use it within the conditional. That's like, kan san, si san. You echo and flow with society. Then you have the wisdom. Kan san, bu si san. You know these are our idea, concept, duality created by thought. So that understanding is very important. So you are not deluded by it. That's why the third seeing is kan san yu si san. That's why you can fit into society. Means duality exists within the existential world. I only learn how to silence my mind to see things as they are through the direction. I need to awaken to that. Understand? To develop the wisdom. So that I can straighten my view, so that I can really do it, not through knowledge. Do you understand? So how to do it? I already given you the shortcut. Well, through my nature, my cultivation, I realize all this duality is not easy to break. That's why people react, get angry, become emotional, become fearful. So the fourth way is what the Buddha taught. Understand? The five ways to overcome unwholesome thought. The third one is silent, aware, cease. But that one cannot live life, you understand? Not? Well, every time you got anger, you got problem, you go and meditate. Understand? Not? Then you silent, aware, then the anger cease. Then you realize anger is not real. Anger is dependent, originating, condition arising. It's not me. But you have to reflect, contemplate until very, very clear, understand? Not? Then the Buddha said the best is go direct to the fourth way. Trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it. How did anger arise? Why did I see become fearful, become angry, become emotional, become selfish with lust? What is the cause? Because wrong view, isn't it? Correct or not? So how to straighten this wrong view? Why every time I do that? Because I got duality, you understand not? I got conditioning, concept. I have been raised this way. I've been conditioned within the conditioned way to behave this way, you understand not? And this is not me. This is the form of mind with delusion. That's why you learn to see things as they are. You need to awaken to the three characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. You have to see that very clearly. Without that awakening, you cannot understand that this is not you. People are just the way they are. That wisdom cannot come out. That's why after this nature develop the awakening, then you understand the whole lot of phenomena is not real, empty. That's why all this teaching I've been trying to teach you, because these are the shortcut. When you understand this, you actually can awaken very easily. Become enlightened very easily. Yeah. But all this is just like the guy that come up with the prototype of the car. That is the difficult one. But now the prototype is there already. This guy who come up with this and created, developed all this understanding, is able to explain to you and how to improve on it. So that no need to look for the prototype. It's already there. That's why I like the Buddha. The Dhamma, after he proclaimed, he rediscovered during the sasana, is so easy to become enlightened. Correct or not? Without the sasana, without the teaching, you go and do R&D and go and find out. Nobody can do it, I tell you. It's impossible. So all this that I have been sharing with you is how this nature through its past cultivation developed the understanding. Then this life has the condition. That's why all this teaching has to come out. That's why Maitreya came to await. Otherwise, all this cannot come out. Yeah. And our website, everything also. come about because of the condition. So when you have this understanding, then it becomes different. But the key thing is to meditate, to silence your mind and awaken to the three universal characteristics. That is a must. You cannot do that, you cannot understand. Then when you awaken, then it's very easy. Then you realize, like the Buddha said, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Then you see, the world is the world. We're conditioned like that, things will be like that. It has to be like that. True or not? Can get there. A human being is just the way they are because of the karmic conditioning. And they are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. So this is what Dhamma is all about. So when you awaken to this, then you understand all this, what you need to do is the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path come in. The Four Right Effort come in. Then after that, you have the wisdom to prevent the arising of the unwholesome thought. You understand? The first one is abandon the unwholesome thought, unwholesome speech, and unwholesome action that has arisen. That one, arise already, only abandon, easy. The second one, right effort to prevent it from arising. That is where the mindfulness comes in. Understand? At the moment of sense of experience, because you have the right view, wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you're not deluded. You do not stir, you do not react. Then the wisdom will come to you. Understand? People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Then your mind stops. No more stirring, no more reacting, no more like before. You have to have that ability. Means that wisdom has to be very stable. That's why you have to contemplate until very stable. Until in the midst of life, at the moment of consciousness, whatever consciousness, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought, the uniso manasikara must come out, that wisdom, to allow you to see things as they are. Then your mind becomes quiet. Then it's not affected at all. We are inside, got nothing. No egoic mind to stir, react. No more delusion. That's how your mind free. So overcoming duality is not about using knowledge to meditate in a way not to have duality. No, it's to develop wisdom and understanding to straighten your view and have this right view so that at the moment of consciousness when you live life, that understanding is there. Yoniso manasikara is there. And that is the real practice, the real awakening. Otherwise, you can't. Then the fourth noble truth, because later on, Engby asked the second question, which was very good. Because he said, the cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path still involves duality. Correct. That's why you got right thought, right view, wrong view. Still got duality. But I explained in the Tuesday class and even the previous Thursday class, I say, these four noble truths, they are the secret of life. The Buddha taught them. And because they are the secret of life, they cover all of life. When you understand these four noble truths, you understand the secret of life. You understand life. Because all of the mundane and super mundane are within the four noble truths. The first and second noble truth is mundane life. Understand? We are the first noble truth talk about the reality of life and existence within the mundane world. That's why that is the mundane aspect of life. And that scope covers all of life within the existential world. Then the second noble truth is to explain to you in a very clear-cut way how you get yourself entangled. He explained the cause of arising of suffering. When you encounter all this reality, the eight reality, without wisdom, you will be afflicted. Suffering will arise, you see. And suffering arises because you have craving born of self-delusion. If you don't have craving born of self-delusion, you will not suffer. So both these are mundane. Then he explained the supramundane under the third noble truth. He said, suffering need not be. You can develop the wisdom and the awakening to realize Nibbana. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. No need to wait till death. And that is a supra mundane. Yeah. But he haven't taught you how to do it. That's why there is a fourth noble truth that teach you how to do it. He said, you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, which is the enlightenment. Because when you develop the meditation to become enlightened, it's because you want to be free from all suffering. You want to be free from birth and death. No birth, no suffering. So all this is a direct response. That's why the fourth noble truth is cultivating the mundane, leading to the supramundane, the realization of the enlightenment. So when that enlightenment, the cessation of all mind has been realized, the wisdom will arise. Then you go to the notes. Once the wisdom arises, all this will fall into place. Yeah. Okay, we go back to the notes. Huh? Number 9. Eh? There is a nature that is independent of thinking. That's why that through Maya, like the awareness within, he can be aware of silence, no? The silence of nature. And silence got no condition on, do you realize? No sense data, no vibration, nothing on. Then who is aware? Well, it's not a consciousness, understand? No? It's not dependent originating, understand? No? That's why that nature is independent of condition. That's how your awareness can be aware of stillness, silent, without condition one. Not like hearing consciousness, you need sense data. Understand? Seeing, all this needs sense data. But the awareness, independent of thinking, that one is your true mind. That one can be aware. But that one cannot come out and live life. Do you understand? But that one is the unconditioned. No word, nothing word. No concept, no description. It's just aware. Finish. That's why it's just awareness before the knowing, before the perception and all those things. So this part is important. Eh? Then after that, all beings are connected to the self nature, which is never born. Eh? Hence, it doesn't get sick, get old, or die. For this is the eternal nature. So this one I explained already, just now. Then the next one. When one understands this, one will be able to cultivate and meditate accordingly. If one does not understand, then one is just following instruction blindly. Meditation is not about whether one is doing it right or wrong. That's why I corrected Miss Lee. He always want to know whether I do it correct. She do it correctly or not. You see, when she reached the ability to be with the silent mind, is that the correct meditation? Then what must I do after that? So again, no. Asking for what? Answer. No? To want to find out yourself. No? Brother Teo, what must I do after that? If I tell you, I become equally gullible. It's not about what must you do. It's about, do you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation? That's why this sharing, I corrected everything, which is very good. Meditation is not about whether one is doing it right or wrong, but one must understand what one is doing in the name of cultivation and meditation. This is more important. Then the mundane mind needs to be trained via mindfulness to realize the true mind or the silent mind. This is what meditation is all about. You only need to train this mundane mind to be ever mindful so that it becomes silent and still and connect you back to the true mind or the silent mind. Not until there is mindfulness, there is no real meditation leading to wisdom. That's why just relax and be silent. Develop the five spiritual faculty to overcome the five mental hindrances first. If there is still thinking, means what? It is because you will follow the notes or not? We are at number 13. I read again. Just relax and be silent. develop the five spiritual faculties to overcome the five mental hindrances first. If there is still thinking, it's because of what? Because your sati is lacking. You don't have a stable sati. That's why the daily mindfulness, the stable sati, is very important. And the untrained mind is heedless because you haven't trained it. Accept it. Don't fight. Don't suppress. Don't control. Don't try to do anything. Just accept that without the mindfulness, it is like that. So what do you do? Just be aware. Understand or not? Continue to be aware, like Anapanasati. Then the next one teach you how to do. Use the heart, awareness within, to be aware of external thing. Observe without views, without opinion and thought process. Means this one, where you are developing the mindfulness, don't try to use your brain to interfere. Anasana, because these are all duality. Just specific phenomenal awareness. Mindful. Don't try to know anything. The progress will unfold by itself. Then the other part is learn to see things as they are. Be with the moment in silent awareness. Then the next point also link, which is very important. Don't be too eager to know about one's progress, because that is a form of craving. If you have cultivated correctly, then condition will unfold by themselves naturally. You will know. The enlightenment factor will come. Everything will fall into place. Yeah. So don't be too eager to know. Otherwise, the mundane might come out again. Then 16 is the real cultivation. In the midst of life, cultivate the daily mindfulness. That is, learn to see the phenomenal, mental, and nature's flow within nature. This is what daily mindfulness is all about. Like kaya nupasana, physical flow. Means your awareness and your movement as one. Then later on, when your daily mindfulness, kaya nupasana, become very stable, then your mindfulness is stable, then only you can see mind. Then only you can do citta nupasana. Then you can be at the moment of feeling. Otherwise, forget about it. You cannot. What you think you are doing, a lot of people used to tell me, you know, I can go to citta nupasana straight away. I can see mind. They are not seeing mind. They are using thought to observe. When you really see with the silent mind, means your daily mindfulness is already very stable. You are most of the time aware. Means the silent mind is always there. That's why sati, sampajana. So this sati is always either specific phenomenal awareness, means the awareness and the phenomenal move as one. Either physical, mental, or nature's phenomenal. They flow. Everything is a flow within nature. Then when they are silent, they just this spacious awareness without a center. Their mind is always like that. That's why this mind has got no dwelling. And it's not easy to do until this stage. That's why you have to train through kaya nupasana. Kaya nupasana, if you can be with the moment without thought, then you already improve. Then this sati will naturally make you aware of a lot of things that you never see before. Because your mind does not heedlessly proliferate and think like before. Is already quiet. That's why it can be aware. When you are quiet, all the movement, you can be aware. Then even the mental movement, the sankhara, the arising of thought, the moment of feeling, the moment of attention, everything can be aware. Without the stable kaya nupasana, you cannot be at the moment of feeling. You cannot see your aggregate of mind. Yeah. So number 16 is very important. Learn to see physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within nature. Yeah? Flow, not phenomena, flow within nature. If there is mindfulness, thought will not arise. This one you understand it there. When you are mindful, there is no thought. Yeah? Thought will not arise. But when thought do arise, what must you do? Read. Yes? And do not allow it to proliferate into a heedless thinking. Because this is what human beings are doing. Understand or not? They think and think and think. That's why they got nothing else to do but a lot to think. That's why they are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. They never live life. So your mindfulness is to reverse all this negative tendency, the heedless thinking, to make you heedful. Then number 17 is the best. Thinking ahead while doing our intended bodily movement and action is not being mindful at all. Do you understand? When you wake up, try it out. What is the first thing that happened to you? I tell you, most of you are hardly aware. The first thought that comes, are you late already? How you jump out of the bed also you don't know. How you go to the toilet, how you release all those things also you don't know. You only feel relief. You're supposed to be mindful. Mindful means what? The first thing is your posture. Aware. The lying down posture. Then silent mind will know what you want to do. Then even the thought comes, you will be aware. Understand not? It doesn't proliferate anymore. It doesn't get excited. Are you late already? No such voice inside there. Understand or not? The reality is, I'm aware. That's it. I have to go to office. Finish. Understand or not? So what must I do? I'm fully aware of my body. How I come out of the bed. That will slow down your heedless thinking. Your hand go and take the comforter or blanket, move onto the side. Then how you turn, how you move, how you come out, and how you go down the bed. Then how on the sitting posture, you're aware, then you stand up. Then how you move to the washroom. How your hand open the washroom door and all things. Then all of the activity, this is daily mindfulness, kayana pasala. And you have to do this right. You can't even be aware of basic movement and activity in your home. You call it what? Your home ground. You don't stand a chance when you come out into the open of society, I tell you. That's how I train. From the house, I come out, I develop mindfulness of the car. How I get the car key, all fully aware. And how I go into the car, how I on the remote and all things. Then how I even turn on the key. Now no need. Now press one button. Fully aware, your hand goes. You are with the moment, doing just that. Initially, you are not used to it, the thought will arise. So, let it be, just like I say, don't let it proliferate, that's it. Be aware, just aware. Then continue to go back to kaya nupasana. Do it until you are throughout the day. Most of the time, the thought didn't go ahead already. Because your thought, think ahead, is because you are heedless, you are not mindful. So I put here, thinking ahead while doing our intended bodily action and movement is not being mindful at all. Try to do one thing at a time with full awareness. Yeah. Like you want to have a cup, yeah, of tea or plain water or whatever. Observe it. Aware. Then how you want to move. It's not your thinking, no. It's your hand. Understand not? Then how it hold, how it bring, and how it just sip without thought. Do it. You can't do it means you are still not stable. And this is the real hard work. Last time I dare not say all this because it will frighten the hell out of you. Because this is what the real practice is all about. Yeah. But for me, my nature is because the past. All this become very natural by itself. After that 2 weeks when the mindfulness came, all this just happened. Then when it happened, I thought everybody was like me. Then when I start to share, and then I realized it's so difficult even for them to understand what I'm trying to share. You know? Because this is not easy, you don't have your path. But it's not difficult when you comprehend and understand. Okay? Then the next one is even more beautiful. Try doing one thing at a time with full awareness. Be with the moment in silent awareness more and more. Can you do that? So that this heedless thinking will be reduced. Every time you anchor your mind to your physical movement, you cannot think. True or not? Because you can only do one thing at a time. Either you are aware of your physical activity, which is kaya nupasana, or you are lost in thought. That's why you have to anchor your mind back to your kaya, so that it does not think ahead and proliferate. So this is the real understanding and the cultivation. Then learn to live life instead of always thinking, planning, and worrying about life. If you cannot see this, you will never improve. Most of the heedless people, they are just thinking, planning, worrying. The thought is very active. They are hardly silent and aware. That's why we know how to relax and silent in the form of meditation. Then when we can do it, we meditate until the mind becomes very subtle, still, positive. Remember? Until your mind enters sati. Then come out of it. Maintain this mindfulness into daily life. Then do your bowing. Do your daily religious routine. That's why bow, mindful of the four posture, connecting movement. Do until it becomes a part of you. Then after that, you will rejoice. Where the fruition will come. If you do that, very easy, you will become enlightened. Even kaya nupasana itself can make you a sotapan straight away, very fast. No need to even go into vedana and citta. Because you already have a firm grasp of what the Dhamma is. Then with the contemplation and all those things, you only need the mindfulness, stabilize it, get it right. 18 is also very important. Try not to accumulate via memory so that the brain has space. Last Thursday I explained, isn't it? Especially those psychological memories like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your phobia, your scars of memory, insecurity, etc. Don't go and accumulate. Accumulate is what? You keep on recalling it, understand not? Like what my teacher told me, finish means finish. Even Quang Ching Lao He Sang also say that. You remember? 做完了. 他没死了. Why you still hold? Why you still recall through memory? Ayo, this guy last night did this to me. Why you still get all the phobia? 做完了，没事了. So finish means finish. It's just form and mind. No reality. As true, as real as it can be, it's only within the moment. Then what happened? Split second is dead and gone. See that. There is no reality in life. He know you, he know me. Nobody hurt you, understand? Not? Nobody do anything to you. Even your husband yell at you. Just laugh, understand? Not? Smile, thank you. You are a good tester. You are a good teacher. I learn from you. Without you, I cannot pass. Then he look at you, he also think you something wrong. He said, never mind. Instead, jot them down. Remember, I say, write it down on a notebook or on a sheet of paper. So as to be free from the need to use memory. No thought means what? You know what is thought or not? Respond to memory. If you accumulate so much rubbish inside there, the thought will arise, isn't it? Your thought is respond to memory, your scars of memory, all of your psychological memory, which are very toxic. I don't use the word wrong thought. Toxic. So, kill you. So, without those memory accumulation, your mind is free. There is space. Understand? It's just aware. And without thought, there is no fear. Fear comes from thought, isn't it? When you grasp and cling to thought. That's why when you stir, it's because the thought, wrong thought, and all those things. And I call this the toxic memory. It gives rise to wrong thought. Then this is how a cultivator who don't have the understanding become entangled. So when you are able to do that, your mind becomes free. No thought means no worry, no fear. Oh, worry is repeated. No anxiety, etc. That tranquility, silence, and clarity of mind lead us to see things as they are, leading to wisdom. That's why your mind must be quiet. For it to be quiet, you must straighten your view. Less delusion, less avijja, less sankhara. Understand? You cannot just stop your thinking, don't want to think, cannot. Don't go and believe those people who tell you, don't think. How can you not think when there is avijja? How can your mind not stir and react when there is delusion? Do you understand? Without right view, without yoniso manasikara, you cannot deal with sense experience. That's why you have to contemplate and reflect the Dhamma until very, very clear. Then you can do it. That's why this nature has done it 20, 30 years ago, almost 30 years ago. Next year is 30 years already. Next year is 2019. 1989, 2019, 30 years already. That nature has been like that for so long. So you don't worry. Don't go and worry about what people tell you. Okay, then 20. When there is awakening, this is the one I want to share with you just now. You read together. When there is awakening, then? If this also you don't understand, you want to meditate and you want to become enlightened. That's why this is the most important. And the condition is there because that day it meant to be one. It's like the whole thing come back, the revision and everything. Then actually Man Yuan's short note is also not bad. But a lot of things not properly phrased out. But at least she can remind me of what I shared. So I just improve on it. You can see in the... I didn't send the email to everybody. Only those who did the what? It's in the website. No. Man Yuan are not in the website. Only this one is in the website. I know the recording is in the website. What I mean is Man Yuan's short note. Understand? The first draft before editing one is not there. Maybe I will send out to some of you who want. If you want, you let me know. Text to me, then I send it out to you. So that you can see the difference. Because if you see the difference, it will help you a lot. Because for those who don't have clear understanding, the short note came out, they try their best. I know Man Yuan try her best. But she still cannot get the thing correctly written out because the understanding is not there, not stable. But at least she can remember what I say. Then even through listening to the tape again, she's still just able to come out with that type of short note, which is not bad. Not bad really. It's quite good. But it's not easy, I tell you. So this one is like meant to be. Everything has to come out. So I read again. Don't have time to finish. When there is awakening, wisdom that arises will be connected to the form in mind. That's why I told you just now the direct seeing. After the direct seeing, the awakening, the form in mind is connected. That's why the form in mind understand what this is. That's why the wisdom is connected to it. That's why after that you can say this form in mind is enlightened. But it's not you. Because it's dependent originating. Condition arising, karmically conditional, related to your nature through karma, but it's not you. So that one is the most powerful understanding. So when there is awakening, means when your form and mind awaken through the silent mind, the direct seeing, wisdom that arises will be connected to the form and mind. The form and mind of the human being is no longer deluded. One can then say it has become enlightened. However, this form and mind is not you and is still subject to the law of karma. This must be understood so that one can cultivate correctly, so that you are not deceived. You need the form and mind to cultivate. Do you understand? The form and mind must harmonize, even though not you. Because that one must silence for you to connect. That's why the mundane and the supramundane, they are related. And without the form and mind, you cannot get into your true mind, your true nature. You need a form and mind to go in. That's why before Sakyamuni Buddha is connected, the wisdom cannot come back. He cannot inherit. Even this life, for me, is the same. Not until it connects, it cannot inherit. That's why the karmic nature, immediately you are born, you are subject to it. But the spiritual nature cannot. You have to wait till you connect. No matter how much parami you have. But if you have that type of parami, chances are you have the vow, the adhipan, and the understanding, and you will connect fast. But not everybody connect fast, I tell you. Most of them, by the time they know this type of thing, and by the time if they do connect, most of them are already quite old. For those who can connect early are very rare. Okay, time is up. So you want to leave this for next one, or I just finish it off? I finish it off, so no need to carry on. Okay, 21. Enlightenment has nothing to do with whether one has completely exhausted one's bad karma or not. So this one is because of wrong view. Some people subject their physical body to suffering, thinking that when all the negative karma exhausted, they can become enlightened. Those are Hindu wrong view. 22. Two aspects of middle path. First is to avoid the two extremes. This one is in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. To avoid the two extremes of self-motivation and sensual indulgence. And the second one is to transcend duality via wisdom. So this one is Noble Eightfold Path. When you cultivate, then you realize the enlightenment, the mind ceases. And when the mind ceases, it will be free. It liberates from the conditioned world. Means duality got no more power over it. Understand? That's why it can transcend duality. It can see things as they are. Where it has the wisdom, right? No longer deluded. So this part is very useful. To transcend duality via wisdom. Duality is to be understood. I emphasize again. Not practice one. You have to understand one. Then liberate. The mind that understands with wisdom liberate. Duality pertains to the conditioned world. This is to remind you. It exists within the conditioned world. You cannot do away with it. This is life. Understand? Existential world, to live life, you need to arise thought. You need to have concept, words, idea to express things. That's why you need language. Understand? But these are not the true mind. When you cultivate, you cannot use thought. But technological thing, knowledge, you have to use thought. To live life, you have to use thought. So thought is a tool for you to come to this world to use. So use it with wisdom. That's why without wisdom connected before you awaken, that thought most of the time create wrong thought. Understand? That's why don't try to be right when you are not developed with the wisdom connected. Once the wisdom is connected, whatever you do will be right. There is no more duality because you are incapable of delusion, wrong view, doing the wrong thing. It all become automatic. Cannot go wrong anymore. Like autopilot. No need to like people, must remember what the precepts are. Because the mindfulness, the heedfulness is incapable of negativity. All form of negativity. Because there is no more delusion. Then the next one is easy. Ignorance leads to heedless thinking. Avijja paccaya sankhara. Be aware of this mental activity via mindfulness. Means just aware, understand? When thought arise, don't fight. Don't go and say, my meditation lousy. No! Silent. And let it slow down. be aware of this mental activity via mindfulness to develop the wisdom to straighten one's view so that one can weaken such heedless thinking. So all this stirring and reaction, you're supposed to be mindful. Then when you are mindful, when you're aware, then you realize this is all due to wrong view. This is all due to ignorance. That's how you can straighten your view. Then when you see all this, you realize, oh, no wonder the Buddha said, we are all deluded, full of ignorance, despite the fact that you are university graduate, very smart people, very intelligent. Then the real meditation will always bring one back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Always reflect and contemplate until the Dhamma is very, very, very clear. This one is very important. Then 25 until 29, I explained already. You go back and read yourself. The first and second Noble Truth are mundane aspects of life. First, Noble Truth explain the reality of life and existence. That is the eighth reality leading to dukkha. If one lacks wisdom, then this one means the prevalence of suffering if one confronts them without proper understanding or wisdom. Second, Noble Truth talks about the cause of arising of suffering, which is craving, born of delusion. Third, Noble Truth, suffering need not be, Nibbana can be realized in the here and now. So this is supramundane. Fourth Noble Truth, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which is the mundane cultivation leading to the realization of the supramundane, which is the enlightenment. Then the question by Sister Adeline, can Brahatio explain how we can overcome or transcend duality in cultivation? Just I explained already. Then Ingby's question is very good. According to Brother Teo, Noble Eightfold Path still have duality, right? Reason why Brother Teo said in the last Tuesday and Thursday classes that the Four Noble Truths is about cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path, mundane cultivation leading to the supramundane, which is the realization of Nibbana. Can Brother Teo explain this further? You listen to the talk, the whole thing is there. Then question by Sister Lee. What does one need to do once the silent mind cultivation has been develop? You go and listen. Actually, her question was not like that. Her question was slightly different. But this was what Man Yuan managed to record. I also can't remember what she... But I know when she asked, she want to know. She like asked me, is that correct? I think something like he said like almost every teacher nowadays talk about meditate to realize the silent mind. I don't know whether that thing is true or not. What do you all learn from other teachers? Did they teach you to train the mind or develop the spiritual faculty to realize the silent mind? Oh, God, oh, Sadhu. God means very good. Because I thought everybody is interested in only jnana, jhana, and fantastic mind state. Oh, very keen on just enlightenment. Okay, we finish. Yeah? So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The other thing is you all should thank Padmasri and Sister Alicia. They volunteer to do the transcript. So you will have a complete transcript. And when the transcript come out, it will be very beautiful. It will be even more elaborate than these notes. This note is very useful. Keep it. This is a very good guide. And this one completes the understanding of the cultivation. Everything is here. And this is very, very rare. Seldom you have condition to have all this understanding all done in one session. That's why the final lesson always like that one. Last time Satipatthana also I remember the last Satipatthana Sutta. Wow, everything was summarized inside there. You know. It's like meant to be one. The whole thing just come out. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits and transfer of merits. Then we end. Aka sata ca bumata devanaga mahindika Pun yang tang anemo ditua cirang rakan tu loka sasana ita wata caamehi sampadan punya sampadan sape dewa anemo dantu sabba sampati sidia idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect to Lord Buddha and all the worthy one. Then we end.
Yeah.